Okay. Welcome, everybody, and visitors, and we'll call the meeting call to order the Tourism Facilities Grant Review Task Force. That's a lot of words. And the first thing on the agenda is introductions. So why don't we start with the table members and then do the guests, and just name and where you're from. Or
I'm calling. I'm from the city of Newport.
Oh, okay. I was going to start. Go ahead.
Where you were born.
Yeah. Well,
a little about yourself.
I'll go next because people might not know that what an outsider I am. But my name's Caroline Bauman, and I'm the executive director of Economic Development Alliance, and I'm from Yahats. But as a part of the functions of my job, I am very happy to be selected for this task force.
And I'm Jim Goldberg, city manager.
Tracy, I'm with the Embarcadero, but I'm representing the Greater Newport Restaurant and Lodging Association for this.
My name is Margaret Daly. I'm a local attorney.
And I'm John Labrakis. I'm president of Advanced Research Corporation, a small high-tech company here in town. But my interests include also science and education. And I'm involved at the high school as a volunteer and also on the Symphony Orchestra Board. So my reach and interests are broader than just science and technology.
Ann Aronson, artist, resident of my beach, 25 years.
Nicole Clark, city of Newport.
Stan Rowe, and I'm retired Newport.
And Jeff Bertolite, council.
And our visitors.
Okay, visitors, in any order you want.
Hi, I'm Bobby Price with the Newport Chamber of Commerce.
Catherine Rickbone, Oregon Coast Council for the Arts.
And Michael Dalton, I'm the president of Newport Symphony Board of Directors.
Okay, number three, I think I'll turn over to the mayor.
Yeah, and as soon as we get our resolution, the right resolution in front of us, we'll talk a little bit about that, but I can give you a little bit of other background information. Most of you received the packet of information from Nicole with this narrative at the front. And did anybody have any questions about the narrative?
This actually is the correct resolution.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just review it with you right now. And then we'll give you a copy for it. Here it is. Okay.
Sorry, the line drive was down.
Oh, okay. The City of Newport has funds for tourism facilities for which the City Council desires to establish a grant program for distribution of the funds. And this is actually these funds into a contingency fund and making them available for this particular task force and grant process is kind of a major shift in what's happened. If you read through the narrative and the history, the money has been sitting there for quite some time. Moving it into this contingency fund in order to make an effort to stimulate some of these projects and to I think the council's intent there is to try to make sure that we can multiply that money as much as possible. But in order for organizations to find grant monies and other opportunity, other funding to generate some of these large scale projects, local support, City of Newport local support, and local support from other people obviously is going to be important as well, but support from the City of Newport is critical for their fundraising efforts. And so the concept is that the $1 million would be multiplied many times over by supporting several different projects. There's no particular parameters about how much each project might receive, and that's really going to be basically up to you as we work through the criteria and talk about the rest of the application process. But the idea, the core of the idea is that we want to try to multiply those dollars. The other basic limitation to it is that if you read through the history, is that the monies really need to be spent on tourism-related facilities, because the original fund was created through an increase in room tax dollars and the promise to the lodging association and the lodging folks and that sort of thing at that point was that the money was going to be would go towards tourism facilities. It could possibly be used for other things, but I think that's really the basic. I don't think the council would want to vary from that particular direction. In other words, it's kind of a, you know, it was a decision that was made not by this council but by a former council, and looking through the history that really was the intent of the money, and so we would like to see that money go towards tourism facilities.
And when you use the word facility, my sense is structure as opposed to events or activities that could bring more tourists.
Right. We have a separate program that we use for that, for marketing. And if you look through the history of it, the state definition of tourism facility really would be what we would try to stick to. And that definition is in your packet back here under ORS 320.300. Okay. And what the different terms mean. But basically, it's bricks and mortar. And a facility that primarily its primary purpose is for tourism or tourism type events, but it's about facilities, it's about bricks and mortar, basically.
What about something like the electrical charging machines in Lincoln City? Not really a brick and mortar or property, but obviously a tourist attraction to help people get here, so, and transport, so on.
You know, that might be a possibility. If a grant were to come to you, that would be a consideration you would have to consider, mm-hmm. based on the criteria, whether or not it really meets how far it goes with that.
So it means maybe more than real property then, as far as the facility is concerned.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
And I think the other thing you have to understand is that we really have on the table right now requests from what kind of spurred this whole process on was the fact that a year and a half ago or 2 years ago at this point, the aquarium came to us asking for some of those dollars, and as did the Maritime Museum Project. The Lincoln County Historical Society and the Maritime Museum Project along the Bayfront came as a cooperative request for some of these funds. And since that time, the Oregon Coast Council for the Arts has put their foot in the door, as has the Friends of the Aquatic Park, and and we also received a letter from Wayne Belmont and the Lincoln County folks for consideration, or that they would, you know, they want to be considered, or will probably put in an application for something at the fairgrounds, for a structure at the fairgrounds.
You know, I did have a question about that. You know, how was this a meeting for deciding criteria? How mm-hmm. was there some word put out prior as far as people applying now before we got the criteria established?
No, all these requests were was please these requests are. If the money becomes available, we want to put a request in.
Oh,
so please let us know what the process is going to be, and that all of these organizations that have requested for the dollars to be released in some fashion have all participated in the process so far as the draft of the criteria and getting us to this point where we are right today.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of where we are. There's been no promises made. You know, the final application process and the final criteria, really we need to settle on, decide, and ultimately then what would happen is that the task force would review applications and make a recommendation to the city council. It will be the city council's decision to how to utilize the money, how to release the money. As you read in the narrative at the beginning, that the intent would be that the money would be promised, so to speak. Set aside to an end. If you made a recommendation, the money would be set aside in for that organization to state the fact, you know, that the city has granted this money, but the money would stay at the city until the fundraising efforts and the project come to fruition. In other words, till they get ready to groundbreak and they actually have all their money and all their ducks in a row, then the city would release the funds. One of the requests, and you'll see from some of the information in here, one of the requests from one of the folks that's been giving us input along the way, and it's a discussion I think that the task force could have, and then if you want to make a recommendation to the council in that area, would be to release part of that money in order to help that organization continue with their fundraising and their efforts, whether it be a 10% or whatever. But I think the major intent is that the money would go to support a project that was ready to break ground and would have success in finishing what they proposed. So,
wasn't there a matching funds criteria in there?
Yeah, and that's what we can talk about today is the matching funds. Yeah, the matching funds criteria. But the idea would be, as an example, $250,000 grant. There might be a request. Maybe we could just leave the door open in the application process that if they felt they needed to have some of that money up front, that they might request up to 10% of that money up front for developmental needs or application costs or whatever as they're out doing their fundraising. That would be another way to do it, just to give that an option to an organization. Some of the organizations that are here may not need that.
But that 10% up front would still be going to the capital project, like the architect, the fees, and
whatever things
relate to the project, not the fundraising.
Not the fundraising, yeah. So I mean, you can limit that. So there's an option in there. We might be able to put in there, depending on the organization where they are with their project, what they might want to do. With the idea knowing that if you were to do that, if we were to grant some of that money up front and the project was not successful, that money would not be refunded. I think that's the basic, that's the basic thing, is that the money would be spent on plans, and obviously those plans could be brought forward again at some point, or if fundraising could be done, but it's that kind of an idea. So it's a risk, and that risk would be could be tempered quite a bit by the other criteria and the selection process you go through and the application information that you get. If you feel pretty confident that the organization has the track record and the history and the ability to finish the project, so to speak, then your risk is less. So,
well, my concern is you don't want to do it arbitrarily. We either set the criteria up front.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For them
absolutely.
To do that so that all of them are on the same level playing field.
Right. And so, I mean, that's an option. And if we get down through the criteria and the application process, and you don't want to have that be an option, it can be a recommendation to the council that you just want to have it be strictly, set the money aside. When you're all finished, complete, signed, sealed, and delivered, then we release the money to you. And then you can also talk, about that, how does that process work? Are we going to deal with some deadlines? If the applicant says, here's our plan, we plan to raise the money by the end of 2013 or by the end of 2012, will the grant be until that point? And then if it doesn't come to fruition, then that money's released and is available again for a different organization, or will there be a extension process? So that, I think that's one of the things I think we need to consider, just because it's likely that one or two of the projects might not come to fruition completely in the end, that they might not be able to get their fundraising done when they thought they would, and do you want to extend it? Do you want to keep it?
Yeah, and I guess from staff's point of view, is if this committee can really work on the criteria of selecting what they think is the most viable projects, when it gets to the council and we get the attorneys involved of these actual contracts, some of these issues may come up.
Right.
And we may have to come back as a group and say, what do you think? But I think the first thing is really is how do we select what the best project, second project, and as we after we work through that, some of these more details can be worked out at primarily at staff level, but if, you know, and council.
And the way I see it is that what the task force job is, this first couple, three meetings, is to get the criteria solidified and get the application process solidified. In other words, what do you want to see? What do we want to see in the application? What information do we want in the application? And what are the criteria we're going to use to select the applicants? And then forward that to the council for final approval, so to speak. And once we get to an agreement there, then we'll have an application timeline. My thought is right now, if this group can get their work done fairly rapidly, that we might be able to release the applications middle of September with a deadline of October 31st. So then the task force would take a hiatus until the applications are in. And then on October 31st, you take all the applicants that you have, take presentations from the organizations, and then make recommendations to the council.
Mark, there's one thing, too. I don't think I'd let you guys think about it, but it's a pretty important item you're discussing. It's up to $1 million, and I would think that if you find that after reviewing some criteria from different organizations that you feel you need maybe some professional guidance, consultant, call somebody up.
Yeah.
I don't think we would be against spending some money to couple, you know, whatever it takes per hour to call some.
Or find what we can, you know, use other resources we have with organizations that do this. You know, maybe we could get some assistance from Meyer Memorial Trust just on a free basis, or the Oregon Community Foundation, or organizations that do this kind of thing on a more regular basis. Just I'm assuming that we would just utilize one of their applications as a format to start with, because they've definitely figured out what kind of information they need in order to make a sizable grant to an organization that's looking at fundraising and doing capital improvements. So
now one of my backgrounds is working for the Economic Development Alliance. Is the grant my board is the grant review committee for the Lincoln County. I mean, not everybody might know this, but my board of directors reviews the community and economic development grant program of the county. Mm-hmm. And that fund has given away over $1 million.
Right.
But only in certain, you know, over a period of, I think, 6 or 7 years, they've given away over $1 million. So I'm not the one who's made those decisions, but I've advised the board with fact-finding, so I feel pretty qualified to, search out the facts that might be needed for the task force to do some decision-making. And also, we've got some models of criteria and application forms and things like that. Because as I looked over the things that you've come up with so far that you're looking at, whether the applicant is qualified is very similar to the type of applicant that the Economic Development Fund, which is a local government, a nonprofit organization, or an academic organization. And those are just the categories that are eligible to apply.
And there, you know, the other part of the whole thing is that as much as possible, of course, depending on how many applications we receive at the end of October, November, whenever the deadline ends up being, that it be non-competitive in nature. In other words, you try to take the applications that you have and consider each one individually and what that might be, what they might have. Now, a lot of it's going to depend on how much the requests are, and that's really up to each of the organizations. The $1 million doesn't have to all be granted. Some of it can be kept. If and when we have all the applications and you go through a granting round and there are still some funds left, then you could go through a second granting round. Or recommendations could be made to the council to wait a year. If we have applications and the request is way beyond $1 million, then there could be, then obviously you're going to have to sort out, you know, you're going to have to kind of weigh each one of the projects that you would have and decide whether they're all of equal standing in some fashion, and then try to give them all at least something, or say this project drops off, doesn't reach the same level as the other projects, and you know that's going to be kind of a way, a major game that you're going to have to do. And I also think that at some point, Jeff and I are both are advocates, and as hopefully as the city budget gets a little bit more able to tolerate something like this, would be the idea that if you have enough applicants and a huge request and a lot of really great projects that you can't fund right up front, that a recommendation may come from you at some point before we get into our budget process this next year, that we'd like to see this kind of a fund continue. So find a way to continually feed money into this kind of a fund so that it be available for future years as an economic development tool. So that's just something to think about in the future. Because the requests come in all the time. The requests have always come in over the years for support. So, you know, it's possible that there might be something that could continue.
And the room tax revenue is collected continually.
Right.
So it's right. If it's comparable to the fund that the county uses, which is funded by video poker, and so there's a drip, drip, drip kind of mm-hmm. quarterly, you know, addition to a fund. I mean, that would be, you know, a really important discussion to kind of estimate not how much is in it now, but how much is in it at a certain date.
Is there a possibility? And of course, the Lodging Association, I think, fairly enough, has already made the statement and sent letters, you know, saying that it'd be fine maybe if the fund were to continue, but not fund it with an increase in room tax.
It's gotten pretty high.
Or taking anything away from
what we were
doing
with
that.
Right. And that is the other piece that everybody should know from reading through the history. You should mm-hmm. you should understand that you know, there was a percentage that was taken out of the room tax collected for a certain period of time, and that's how this $1 million was generated, but that stopped.
Yeah.
So right now, 100% of the money that's collected in room tax is going to all the other places that room tax funds. And
okay.
there's no money going into this fund now, and has not been going into this fund for how many years?
5 years.
Or 6 years. Yeah. So this money has... This fund is not being refunded at this point. It's not accumulating.
It's not even
stagnant at $1 million. And in uh-huh. fact, it actually was at 1.2 something at some point. And some of the monies were used for bayfront improvements, I think.
Well, I was going to ask about, because with that
places.
Amount, you know, you have the either dividends or, you know, the...
interest.
The interest and you'd be wondering if that's available.
The earnings were attributed to the fund for a while, but they no longer are attributed to the fund. The earnings are just go into the
general fund.
Into the pot.
Okay.
And I don't really know if anybody could really tell you at this point. I don't know what happens.
No, how
the cash accounts are, how the cash accounts accrue and what they accrue as far as the city goes.
Well, you know, I'm just assuming...
At some point, everything goes into this big cash account, and then it all gets...
Yeah, but I mean, we're just to... So that the task force... I mean, I definitely need to learn, you know, about the background of it and what's already allocated. And so, you know, one of the things that I wanted to check with the task force is whether this... suggested timeline of October 31st as the deadline for applications, whether that works for the members of the task force.
Well, I guess probably what
does
we need
it,
to do is
does
just
it work?
Discuss, see where we get with the criteria today.
Oh, okay.
And see if we can, you know, I mean, I think you want to feel comfortable and thorough with the process. So as soon as you feel confident and comfortable with the criteria, and the application that we're going to put forward,
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
council is comfortable with that, then we can create our deadlines. I'm just hoping that we can do it in a fairly timely fashion, because the longer the $1 million sits there and doesn't generate any kind of interest or future projects, the less it will do for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So, I mean, the sooner the better for everybody, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Feels that way.
So does anybody else have any questions about that? So your task force, I think we were responsible for developing criteria, and then responsible for reviewing grant applications once the applications come back in, and forwarding recommendations to the grant on the grant criteria and funding recommendations for tourism facilities to the council. So basically, we've got that two-step process where the council will be involved. One, when we finally get the criteria and application actually solidified, and then when the recommendations come back for funding.
Okay.
Okay. So, question. And it doesn't really tie to this, but you said no more funds are going in, and I don't understand. If monies are being collected for tourism, where is that going if it doesn't go in?
The 100% of the room tax dollars are now distributed by
the most recent
ordinance, which is...
Oh, the aquarium and county fair, kind of that kind of a deal?
No. I'll just read it. Okay. 2009, 10.5% room tax. 9.5% is split. 46% of the 9.5 goes to promotion of tourism.
Oh.
54% goes to municipal funds, the city of Newport. 1% goes to the state because that is a state statutory thing. And that right after that, it says current status. So since 2009, we're living in that world.
Essentially.
Okay.
Actually, 2007 is when the split went 40-60, and then Gary Firestone recalculated it to 46-54 in 2009. That's the most recent ordinance.
Okay.
And 2005 is when 2005 is when the fund was started, and at that point, 2.5% went to the tourism facility fund until the project crumbled.
And that
was mostly directed towards what would be a convention center, what was going to be a convention center.
So they reallocated that 2.5% not to go to the fund, but to go into the general.
Right. Well, I heard 46% of 9.5% goes to promotion of tourism, which
tourism promotion.
Goes to the ads that are out on the highway. Those
it's all
goes
allocated.
It goes to the DNC. It goes to the contract we have it goes a lot of different places. It goes to the contract we have with the Chamber of Commerce to provide our responses to our marketing and advertising and to operate the visitor center. It goes a lot of places.
Isn't the city budget online?
Online
you could look and see very specifically.
Yeah.
But, sure, sure.
But basically, since
2007,
since 2007, there has been no more money put into that fund. Yeah. And
just by choice, really. They could have, but they decided to put the money towards the chamber and these other contracts. So,
well,
but that's just how it is right now.
Basically, what happened was that 2.5% was then split between 60% to general fund and 40% to promotion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
There was a resolution. There was a resolution, and there was a change where we said, okay, we're not going to put it there anymore. It's going to go the other direction. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty complicated. I mean, if you take time to read through this whole history, it kind of flows, but it kind of doesn't. So it wasn't really an easy thing to research. But Peggy and I worked pretty hard on getting all the information we could together. And in reality, there was no real formal decision by the council to stop putting the money into the fund or what to do with the funds at the point at which the whole thing sort of collapsed. So that's why the money was just still there, and it was unappropriated for several years. Mm-hmm. So the only thing we've done now is to move it into contingency, which just means that the council has to approve whatever funding is coming out of there. And the idea, of course, would be that if you grant all of it, it's not going to leave the city until the project actually comes to shovel ready. So the money will still stay there probably for a year or two anyway. Mm-hmm. It can be promised as a form of local support. So does anybody else have any other questions about
that? Just a comment that Tracy made to me one time. He got hammered, and probably other people will now they know who you are, that a local contractor said, well, why don't you use it for streets, and why don't you use it for, you know, this other stuff. First, use these things. And just let you know, the state has guidelines, and that could be 10 years shovel ready. I mean, these certain things. So people come up, maybe come up to you and say, all of these things, this is the way it should be. Have a contact mark.
there were quite a few bills in the legislature this last session. I don't think any of them actually finally passed. They all failed, and there were several efforts and attempts to change how room tax dollars could be used. Mm-hmm. And tried. There were several attempts to say that the room tax dollars could be used for infrastructure like roads and streets, because tourists use those too, and they tried to expand that whole definition of what tourism facility is, and I don't think any of those passed.
Nope.
So the tourism facility definition that you have here in your packet is the one that we're still operating at.
Where is that definition? Is that the
it's
one?
It's ORS.
It is the last two pages, basically, of the handout. And what the definitions are literally written in 2A and B, 3, number 3 and number 9.
Yeah, on the second page.
On the second page. And the other definitions have to do with something else.
Tourism-related facility means a conference center, convention center, or visitor information center, and means other improved real property that has a useful life of 10 or more years. So there's where you get your bricks and mortar thing. And has a substantial purpose of supporting tourism or accommodating tourist activities.
Excuse me, Mark. Yeah. Just regarding that improved real property, didn't we just establish it didn't have to be real property? It could be something, another type of facility, like the electric charging machine facility.
Well, I think the charging station on a piece of property would be considered
it's
real property.
It's improved real property.
And it would be
okay. Just
and it would be considered it would be considered something that would support tourism or accommodate tourist activities. And tourist, then it goes on to define who a tourist is, what transient lodging means, and those are the key things.
So we're still on number 3, review of tasks and timelines, and are there more?
I think we're there. Does anybody else have any other questions?
See if anyone has any more about that. Anne, did you have something?
I had some. Are we on just in general on the proposal, just questioning that? Is that what we're doing right
sure,
now?
Sure, just
review of tasks and this draft.
Okay.
It's understood.
I had a couple of things I red flagged right away. Qualifications had to be sponsored by a government agency or a nonprofit organization, along with the matching fund requirement.
Where are you in the pages?
Okay, qualifications for projects is, I don't have a page number in mind.
It's after all the timeline.
Yeah, after the timeline. What we look like mm-hmm. on the timeline. Okay, number 3.
Under criteria.
Sponsored by government agency or nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
And then on the first page on the matching funds. But they were
qualifications for projects, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I just felt like those were real clear limitations on real innovative small business ideas and so on, that was a real limitation on qualifications. That was my personal feeling.
You mean 1 through 7?
No, I just thought that you have to be a government agency or a nonprofit organization. I just felt like that really limited, innovative thinking for small business or other things that didn't fit in those categories.
But with the caveat that it first, whatever project is, first has to fit that state definition of tourism facility.
Right, so, but I think you're making the point that a for-profit could be a
could
organization.
Present a grant. For a tourism facility, sure.
Yeah, a small business thing. So I just felt like, so that isn't going to be a limitation then, just to be clear on that.
Well, this has to do with the sponsorship of the project. I don't know if it has to do with the owner or the operator of the project.
So what do you mean by sponsored then?
I think that means the applicant has to be nonprofit, government or nonprofit, the applicant for the grant.
So if a small business was interested, they have to get some...
A sponsor.
A sponsor, okay.
Well, they have to be part of that project, and that's what maybe we need to recognize here and encourage the nonprofits to do, is that they have to spend these dollars, and you want them to spend them on things that help support their project, which is the creative energy and the for-profit businesses in Newport and Lincoln County. In other words, we want them to spend the money here, and they have to work their project so that the for-profit entities that may be small could be innovative, can make their contribution and work these dollars.
Okay, is there some list of the sponsoring agencies just to so everybody knows? I mean, that was new to me. It was something I was concerned about.
Well, I think it has more to do with the state of Oregon definition of a conference center, convention center,
tourism facility.
And tourism facility. That those are the limitations, I think, rather than who's a government, because it's pretty obvious who's a government and who isn't. Right. And who's a nonprofit and who isn't.
There was a mention of academic applications from academic entities.
Well, now, my county fund includes academic in the list of eligible. So, you know, for example, but see, it's not a tourism development fund, it's an economic development fund. So we funded the community college over and over, you know, as an example. OSU, Hatfield Center. We've funded them over and over. So that's simply a different fund with a different purpose. Because this one's going to be so much narrower being tourism facility.
Do education facilities fit in within a government agency or a nonprofit organization? I guess would be the question.
K through 12 does, because
it's a government agency.
It's a government, but the others I'm
community
not sure.
Community college.
I understand. Government education is, or a government agency is automatically included. Included as a nonprofit by the IRS.
So, okay.
If you have a charity going out of business, it's a 501c, they are supposed to give their money to another charity, not keep the money and do other things with it. So they get it freely, can give it to a governmental agency.
Okay.
So it, in a sense, things are encompassed within the nonprofit.
It depends on the further definition. Yeah. You know, under convention center, the last definition says owned by a unit of local government, government agency, or nonprofit. So governments are equivalent to a nonprofit.
And I almost, also tell you that these qualifications for projects are part of the draft. Mm-hmm. And it's also the way that we developed the original list of criteria. So if you feel like the qualifications need to be revised or mm-hmm. amended, feel free to do that.
Right now? Is that what we're doing?
We can, mm-hmm. as part of our criteria, yeah. It's not set in stone.
But the parts of it that are set in stone would be these definitions,
yeah. mm-hmm.
these three definitions, and the fact that the money can only go to these three definitions. So there's a set in stone
that way.
Part of it.
Yeah. Now, which three definitions, I'm sorry?
The last two pages, starting with 320.300.
Oh, okay.
The state
yeah.
law about
state
what
law.
Should be done with
okay.
where the money can be used.
And, you know, go ahead. Go
well,
ahead, John.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to understand this like Anne is, too.
Yes.
So let me throw out an example. Suppose Embarcadero says we want to build this large convention center, for-profit organization. Does this require them to get someone to sponsor that convention center that's government or nonprofit? Or can they just submit? I say I'm trying to understand what.
Well, in the definitions, actually speaks directly to that. If it says convention center, there's a bunch of criteria, but one of the things that it says is owned by a unit of local government, government agency, or a nonprofit organization. It's very specific.
You can't use the money to do that. If you were,
if I were a private organization, I could.
Okay.
But he could create a nonprofit to do it.
Could.
See, the reasoning behind this that might help allay people's concerns, if the reasoning is the same as the reasoning behind the county fund, is that we are using a transient room tax that is taxed. It's
taxed revenue.
It's tax money. The tourist paid tax, and the city of Newport obtained the money. You don't want to have that tax enriching one individual. It just wouldn't be right. So nonprofit organizations, one of the functions of them is that they use the money to better their community for the public good. A convention center and all of these things would be considered helping the community. And one of the things it does is benefit tourism.
Sure.
Because benefiting tourism creates more room tax, and so you create a beneficial cycle. But it is important that the perception is not there that somebody can be enriching themselves by accessing the money. Mm-hmm. And I agree with it, right. And I hope the task force the city does. Nonprofit organizations have a function, but they do not enrich any of their members. They enrich the community.
Which doesn't mean that a project might come to you. I can't perceive that would be true, considering the projects proposed that we have, but the idea would be a project might come to you whereby they might have a partnership with a particular entity that would operate it. I think the Eugene Convention Center operates that way. That the Eugene Convention mm-hmm. Center, the Hilton, yes. It's attached to the Hilton. The Hilton's there. The Hilton operates and runs it. But I think the Convention Center itself was built with city monies.
But it's a contracted service.
It's a contracted service.
So there's that Vancouver had the exact same.
That kind of a partnership is mm-hmm. would then mm-hmm. talk about what you were talking about. It's like what if a business. A for-profit or organization like
well,
that.
Well, it's like they have a contract, it's like having employees.
And that is where you can claim it creates jobs. Yeah. These are private sector jobs that have mm-hmm. the potential of existing after this money is given out, and these are jobs that did not exist before giving out the money. It's just that you don't give it directly to somebody's paycheck.
I think the other caveat that we need to put in here is that this draft process and proposal has not been really vetted by the city attorney at this point. So at the point at which we get our criteria written and our application materials ready and our qualifications list, that kind of thing, that we will have to go through that process as well, so our city attorney can say what you're doing here is all works.
Legal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very helpful that we have a volunteer attorney on the task force. I really
think she's not going to give us any advice.
I'm not an expert in municipal law.
So yeah. No. Yeah. It's simply helpful. Yeah. And to have the lodging is representative of the person who collects the money on behalf of the tourist for the things that the tourist wants and needs. I mean, it's very helpful. I think we'll be able to do a very high quality work on this. And is there anything more on number three, review of tasks and timelines? We haven't reviewed a timeline. Yes.
Yeah, I think still on just the qualifications, which is really important as far as people doing the RFPs, that we talked about the nonprofit, but then you also maybe something specific about encouraging small business innovation that would promote tourism as well as having the multiplier effect and educational value and all that. Somehow to word it that we can include small business innovations for jobs year-round that could be tourism also and have a more economic base, not, you know, tourism plus economic base.
And have that in the... I think that sounds like something that would be in the introductory materials, the guidelines.
Or it could be.
It could be a statement of our vision.
Purpose. Or it could purpose be one of your criteria. You know, does this project promote private small business?
You want some of these dollars to circulate here during the construction phase or the creation of the project. So you need to have some criteria in here that causes whoever's making the application to make sure they consider that and bring that into the process.
Actually, in your criteria part, there is a couple of...
Okay.
But I think
about hiring, about improving our local economy.
You have several phases here, first of all. You have $1 million, but you want it to be much more than $1 million. So for every $1, how are you going to make that into 2, 3, 4, and 5? You want them to think about how they're going to multiply it for the project. Then this is bricks and mortar. It's a construction project. How are they going to hire locally? Mm-hmm. Newport first, Lincoln mm-hmm. County second, but how are they going to hire people locally to do the work so that the construction jobs, the money circulates here rather than go to Eugene. You want to be practical, you don't spend $500 here when $1 in Eugene will do it, but you want to make sure that some of their money circulates here in the construction phase.
Well, okay. I think in the criteria, just right, it can be in it, because there's a section here that says, does the project create jobs? That can simply say, does the project create local jobs?
Well, it's not just local jobs, because sometimes at the end of it, you have local jobs. You want the construction phase, too, to have some local jobs, some local money here. Because afterward, if you have an ongoing year-round facility, you're probably going to have a local job. But if they're going to be spending $1 million and hopefully $5 million doing construction, then you want some of that money to go to the local businesses here rather than always be contracted out. Sometimes you have to contract out because we don't have the people to do it here.
Well, I think you could say, does the project create local jobs during the construction phase, something like that.
Or you can say in all phases.
In all phases.
I think it's easy to do.
It's easy to do, but what you want them to think about making sure they spend here. If there's artisans, do they get local artisans to do
and
the work?
And it'll be weighted more heavily if they do.
Yeah, give them a little bit of advantage. Don't be ridiculous with it. Sometimes you have to hire somebody else. Like NOAA project, we did really not have someone to do that in water work. In this community, they have to go out of town.
Yeah.
You have to do that sometimes, but you should have them thinking about spending here and wait the dollars to encourage that.
Okay. And Margaret's right, because you know, with
I'm sure the
with government agencies, with government agencies, we have a set bid process we have to follow, and we have to take the lowest bidder. It doesn't matter where they're from.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ways that we might be able to use this stimulus in that way, and because the organization that might be applying for the money or using the money can stipulate more because they don't have to follow those government contracting.
Well, one of the good examples of this.
Yeah, good idea.
Where's Nicole?
She's going to get up. We're going to stay.
Oh, okay. She's taking notes. I'm not taking any notes. But the school district is a good example of, I think they have solve the problem while still being legal and having a preference. So I think there are some good examples out there.
The sizes of their projects allow them to be a
Port
little bit
Newport,
more
local. And the school district. So
and you just want to make sure that they're doing that because you want, and then afterward, of course, they should be creating jobs. Mm-hmm. And if this is an ongoing fund and they're going to ask for more money sometime in the future, you want them to be able to come back and explain exactly how they did this criteria the last time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all accountability, but you don't necessarily, you know, you want it inexpensive, but the money doesn't work. Buy a book from Amazon.com, the money's elsewhere automatically. It's not here. Mm-hmm. You go to a local bookstore and you spend it there, some of the money stays here and circulates. The economy and the multiplier are circulating the money locally.
Mm-hmm.
You want to bring in outside money, but you also want to use it here. Mm-hmm. So it has to be built in that we think about that, they think about that, and they get some weight toward their project because of it. You don't want to do things ridiculously, but you want them to encourage to hire locally.
Yeah, I think that's just simply, does the project create local jobs in all phases, and you pretty much...
Yeah, that's good.
Well, we've gotten a little bit into the criteria, so I think we should maybe, you know, continue on that vein. I want to make sure that people, it looks like she's capturing what we need to capture, but we have the digital recorder anyway. So the criteria for Jeff, you had something. I'm sorry.
No,
did you get a chance to say what
you
need to say?
That's fine.
Okay. Oh, okay. So when we have this developing criteria in section 2 of the resolution, and it would be good for everybody to agree what's, you know, understanding what's meant by criteria, what's meant by eligibility. And being a qualified applicant, which is kind of the applicant's first step. We talked about that a little bit and maybe need to clarify that for the benefit of the applicants. And then where do guidelines and the application itself fit in? Is that all considered criteria by the City of Newport?
That's your recommendation to the City of Newport.
So the recommendation would be, the criteria was on a page that was kind of a scoring sheet, but then you're gonna have written materials that that first say things about eligibility, and then the how to apply the guidelines, so to speak.
I think that's what you guys are going to come up with.
Okay, so it includes the whole thing. Yeah, under the idea of criteria.
Well, the criteria would be a second page, but the first page would be, here's, you meet these qualifications to be able to apply.
Right.
Then they present to you, and you weigh their presentation by your criteria.
Yeah, I think. In your application, the first part of your application would be to demonstrate that you're qualified.
Uh huh.
Right. Just the documentation.
Right.
And then.
Right.
The narrative that they provide to you, or the presentation they provide to you, they would address how they fit the criteria and how they mm-hmm. how they feel they mm-hmm. meet the criteria, as many as they feel they can meet.
Okay.
And as it says here, you know, that not all the criteria do not need to be fully met. That you're gonna take a look at, that's gonna be you're using the criteria really just to consider how you
rate them or how much
funding you might give them,
okay.
or
okay.
whether you give them funding at all.
Okay. It's like Mark mentioned, the rating doesn't go, well, I gave these other guys this much, so I can only give these guys.
I don't think.
Rate them as you've just never seen these guys before, just rate them that way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that I don't think you're going to end up with a definitive score. You're going to say, well, these three projects all got 500 points. And therefore, they're going to get a third of the money. I think that the criteria are, maybe you want to weight them, maybe you want to have a score, maybe you don't want to have a score at all. Maybe mm-hmm. you just want to have these kinds of criteria and questions and ask them to address them. And you
mm-hmm.
don't.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that in all fairness, I think that the applicants would like to see a little quantitative.
And I mean, you know, the only other thing would be maybe to group the criteria in priority, by priority. In other mm-hmm. words, say, you know, these criteria, you really need to meet these criteria.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then you say these are other things that we will consider.
Yeah.
And that way be a different way of weighting it. Just saying, you know, you have to meet these criteria. These mm-hmm. are criteria that we would like to see you meet.
Yeah.
Can you address them?
Yeah, because if there was an application form that was basically like a two-page narrative letter, which a lot of them are, mm-hmm. If I was the applicant, and one of the things in my background is being a grant seeker and a grant maker, kind of been on both sides of the table, I would be dedicating, you know, I would be addressing every single one of these in my narrative, and that could make the narrative really long. Mm-hmm. So if these could be either grouped or get rid of some of them or something, it'll make a better application.
How about this other way of looking at it? I would anticipate, since there's maybe so far 3 to 4 people, that you allow them to make a presentation that would be a little more lengthy than as compared to whether or not they've listed everything on a piece of paper and you don't get to see them or talk to them.
Right, right.
I think it's more, I have a feeling most people will want to talk to you personally for at least, limit their time, but I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to want to pitch it.
Yeah, they're going to pitch it. I mean, how are you going to, a lot of projects you're not going to be able to look at an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. It's just not going to work.
So I guess maybe the first question would be, how do we want to use the criteria? How do we want the applicants to address the criteria, and how do you want to use them? Do you want to use them to actually generate a score, or do you want to group them in a way that you say, you know, these are criteria that have to be met, and these are criteria that we want you to also address or
mm-hmm. One other thing is, I don't know if this reflects the will of this task force, and you know, one thought, and Caroline will understand this, is we could take an approach of do some kind of a survey amongst us to rack and stack these in priority. Remember, like we did in the strategy retreat, where I put mm-hmm. everything up
That's true.
Let the group vote on everything. We could do this electronically, and then we can see which ones rise to the top, and that becomes it. Because otherwise, mm-hmm. we'll just mm-hmm. talk about whether creating jobs is more important than, you know, which kind of tourist activity. But we could do something like that, and that would force some of the ones higher up. And we can see if there's any groupings too.
That's a good idea.
We could, John, and I've been through that exercise with John, and
it's good.
But one of the things that before doing that, mm-hmm. we might want to go through them one by one in just with to give respect to the people who developed them, because there's one or two on here that I question whether they should be on the list at all.
Let me clarify some of that.
Okay.
Whether they're not on there, in most surveys, people ask the similar question sometimes twice for a reason. And that's so you look at it differently, or you don't score all of it. You know, oh my gosh, I forgot one time. I come back and review it. So it's not. It's to catch a different viewpoint. And
the questions came from the community. It sounds like
you start limiting the scoring down to not to a very small amount. Then it's like having a 5-point test as compared to a 20-point test in knowledge. You whoever you jump the highest gets all the points. And so this is probably the. You want to go so far out you can't even handle it, but you want to be fair enough that the highs and lows kind of will balance out a little bit.
Okay.
We only have ones and twos here. If we vote on this, we might find something really rises above, and maybe you want to be, you may have one or two threes in there to
that's
to
possibility.
Or you must meet these criteria.
Well, like there might be some minimum.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that must be the criteria, you're going to get a higher score.
Then it would become a qualification rather than a criteria.
If it must be, then a qualification.
Yeah. But if you weigh something heavier, they're going to likely want to look at that more important item and put more effort into that one anyway, so it becomes a weighted criteria and select for it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to pick only ones if there's a bunch of threes out there. I'd better dress the threes or the fives.
Yeah. Well, the problem you get, there maybe some projects have a three category, whereas some other project doesn't even meet that category, but they have a ton of ones or twos.
Yeah, but
so you don't want to penalize one project for as compared to another one that way.
Well, I disagree with that. I think you do, because if the criteria is, for example, if we take number one, does a project encourage multiple stays of lodging businesses? I mean, I would amend that to say, does the project incur increased spending within the community? That's a big factor. That's the whole idea behind spending the money. So yeah, that does become, if they can't meet that criteria, then why are we going to do the project at all?
Well, you could say spending and then do subcategories. Does it increase spending in the local community? Does it work during the project? Does it increase hotel stays? Does it increase visitation to various items? Does it increase restaurant visits?
You could. That's how we group them. We could group them that
way. You can have spending done in different ways and have them explain their specific.
That's good.
That would be great.
Because people can come to the coast, spend a day, never spend any time overnight. They can bring their own freezer chest full of foods and never go to a restaurant, and they're still here. And even these days, you can fill your gas tank somewhere else and come here and go back, and you spend very little money locally, even though you're part of the tourism. And you might go to the aquarium, or you might just go to the casino, but they come here, that's tourism. We want them to spend more here, so you want to encourage something about how they're spending here.
Fair enough. So it's I'm hearing some statements in favor of considering some of these to be necessary and others to be optional. So I think that might be a way for, I don't know if we're ready to sit down and finalize criteria today. I think a lot of people might get food for thought and think about let's do our own scoring, and in one of these columns put down the importance and whether or not a certain category is necessary, and that will be a section of the criteria that would be the minimum standard.
Do you want to take some time, though, to quickly go through these and see if everybody's kind of on the same page
asks? I would kind of like to go through them one by one, because I put marks next to things that I didn't know what it means, that kind of thing.
That's what we're here for.
Okay.
And then also maybe people have additions
or
subtractions.
We can even do that. So if the task force is okay with it, with respect to for what's already been done, maybe one by one we can see what was meant by these things, and just take the next, 15 minutes, or, if it takes longer, we can see if we need it. So let me go ahead and start with, does the project encourage multiple day stays at lodging businesses? And it sounds like Tracy had a more comprehensive way of stating
that. Yeah, mine says, does the project encourage increased spending within the community?
You can make that category.
I mean, I
that's
like...
That's it. That's the header category. Does it do this, and how does it do that?
All right.
And one of the easy ways
friendly
to do
amendment.
This maybe is to do it, have these listed out, have them have, so they can just check the boxes as well as have a narrative. But because we want to spread it around. We don't, not every project has to increase lodging, but lodging is part of the mix, so we want to make sure lodging is increased. So, it, you know, you start with spending. These are the kind of things you can spend money on if they're here. Lodging, gas, whatever.
Right, in what areas?
And, you know, we could say, for example, and then the list, and then the last line, other blank.
Oh, always put another in.
And that way, we haven't anticipated everything that could be spending.
But you're getting them to think about it, and maybe they'll come up with other categories.
I mean... That's to me a very friendly amendment, and I love that direction.
So add like a checkbox categories underneath it.
Yeah.
But you say, how does it do local spending? You have all categories, lodge, restaurant, anything we can think of listed there. They check off what they want, they put it in the
That would actually give the task force data.
And make a better decision.
Yes.
And you can balance it out. In other words, it's not always going to be everything increasing lodging. We can say, okay, we've got three projects doing that. Maybe we need to put some consideration over in a project that doesn't directly increase lodging, but increases the categories that we're missing. Kind of spread it around.
And there are economists that deal with tourism, and I might be able to collect some. Travel Oregon is just a fantastic resource. It is a state agency that does tourism. And if I can collect some, you know, money impact type information that would help our task force have a good application, I'll try to do that.
I think you have that already.
Or maybe we have that through the chamber. Okay.
Has their report from...
Yeah. No, I know the one. I know the one you mean.
Yeah. That just says what the tourist dollar impacts were in the city.
And categories.
And the categories. So that's it right there.
We can just provide a copy of that maybe to everybody in the task force.
Well, let's continue then and try to go through as many as we can. Is the project a new facility or addition to an existing facility? Now, to me, it's either one or the other, so what does that question matter?
Well,
is it going to be a zero or a one?
Well, no, you need the idea being, are you create that if it's existing, I suppose, I think we were trying to figure out, are you adding to what's here?
Right,
and if you don't say, if you, it's not an either or, you don't, the other guy.
It's not?
You're not going to score, you might consider scoring something that's, in addition, higher than something that's already here.
Something?
Something is creating a new reason for
new
people
to
come here.
It wouldn't necessarily be higher.
Thing. Yeah. See, you might say that by having a new facility, it's very risky and adding to something that's success is good.
People, I hear confusion then on that question.
I'm very confused.
It's a good question to ask, but don't.
It's a follow-up question to something bigger.
It's something that I think that we're going to know by looking at what they're doing. I don't think it's something they have to specifically address. We know the aquarium is here.
Okay, so it'll be hard to score, you're saying that.
Yeah, and the reality is, maybe we need to do something brand new and not always put it in the old ventures, but that is going to be harder for them to demonstrate viability and something that is actually going to work. And so we have to watch their business plan very carefully, where we know the aquarium's here, we have more confidence, they've been around a while, they're not going to just disappear.
I think maybe probably, I'm not sure, Mark, but maybe I was considering here was that if a new facility, you might get
a new group of people,
and that may be just the existing. You might add 10% more to what
that would be explained, though, in the increased spending. In the first question, it would be explained because they would say, "Well, we're creating a whole new venue, a whole new group of tourists."
There'll be
increased spending because of that.
Yeah, you might be. Yeah. Maybe it's answered down here. Does the project attract new demographics? So maybe you could leave off the front one here, then the existing.
Yeah. It would be hard to explain to an applicant why either one of those would be more weight.
Okay.
And if they're not, then we shouldn't have it. I mean, as it's written.
Right.
And I also think we kind of know. I mean, yeah,
it'll be self-evident. Project
or it'll be self-evident.
Yeah, it'll be self-evident. Yeah,
saying what we're doing, applying
sure
your
we have to read it.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Next one is, what is the potential for repeat visits during the year? What is the potential for
repeat
visits
during the year? I'm
not sure
why we limit it to during the year. I'd like to see people coming back to Newport over the years. That was my thought.
For example,
if we had an annual event, then that's good.
But could you just put an S on the end of year?
Yeah. What is the potential for repeat visits?
Visits during the repeat visit.
You have two questions here. One is how many times they go during their particular stay, and one's repetitive.
Will they come back
time.
Year after year?
Year after year.
Right.
Year after year is a whole different thing.
You want to promote repeat visits beyond...
Repeat visits.
It's visits. It's not a particular year. It's,
right.
Okay.
And they may not want to come next year, but maybe they want to come back to the aquarium 2 years from now because they haven't been here a while. Having something a little new might help them do that.
So just strike out during the year.
Well, the other thing, too, though, you might have a project that says they have several events and they four during the year and they keep coming back. That one might have four. So you don't want to rule out. Now, will they come back year after year? That's another probably interesting question. But I think the question here is asking, are you going to come back
throughout the year?
Why don't you just do a checkbox subcategory?
One is during the year.
Will it promote repeat visits?
Year after year.
During their actual stay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You have little checkbox things, so you have all the different little nuances.
No, I think this, question is going to a different thing. Not year after year or within a specific year, but throughout the year. Does it not just go in summer? Is it in fall? Is it in winter? And those things. I think I read the
another
question.
Another checkbox could be seasonal.
Seasonal use, yeah.
Well, you can have another question. Returns. Do you have a year after year if you want to put
it's the checkbox thing makes you do to cover all these individually because some of them are going to be one event a year. Some of them are going to be like the aquarium. They're around. People can come all the time, but they may have particular events.
Well, I think that some of these are right. We were talking about
earlier. Yeah, in the checkbox. But also, you have the seasonal idea where you're going to do something at odd times of year instead of doing it when everybody else is doing it, or you're going to have a regular event that happens once a month.
Well, but I'm getting at what you're talking about are covered down here.
Then maybe what we do is you just take the next two. What is the potential? Is there potential for repeat visits? Those next two, you just create one about repeat visits,
and then
have categories underneath that.
And another thing is what the repeat visits, and then leave it at that, and then say explain and give them three lines.
Well, you've got another category here too. It's going to make once you start getting explanations, you guys are going to score those. Whoever can write the best sometimes, but down here is the project is seasonal or year-round facility. That would be another.
Well, you know, to score them after they've only checked it but not explained it, you have.
Well, that's what the pitch is for.
You have the pitch.
They're going to be talking to you. You're going to look at your.
But the scoring of an event that's annual, say seafood and wine, they have one event, but they've got 50,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only here once a year. They get scored lower than the guy who's here twice a year, but the twice a year guy only gets 100 people. So it's always a person day visit that you're sort of looking at, regardless of the whether it's annual or more than once a year. Right. So I think I would want, yeah, the spending would be higher if the facility accommodates more people in the space of 1 year. But it might be like the county fair. It's only once a year.
So what you're asking is how large is the facility is basically your hub?
Well, it's a combination of things. If you're going to attract, for instance, a convention, you need a facility that accommodates the convention. If that's a 200-person convention, it's one thing. If it's a 500-person convention, it's another.
It's a bigger impact.
Well,
it's a bigger impact on a one-time event, but it also...
Well, there's a question down here. I'm sorry, I didn't need to.
I think we're jumbling a lot of things together, which is what the problem is.
Yeah.
But in the idea of the events, for instance, what kind of repeat visits during the stay, during the year, seasonal, or whatever, what you do is when you have the bulk category and you have the different criteria, you can weight each one of the different criteria under the big one. Okay? Mm-hmm. The repeat visits during the stay, during the year, many over the years, whatever categories you put in there, you give them some weight for each one. And yes, you're going to try to pay attention to ultimately how many people visit over the year.
I see what you did.
Event.
Yeah.
But we need to have
each the more boxes, the better.
The more boxes, the better.
The big check.
So they can describe what they're doing, and then have the narrative come along with it.
Why don't we keep going without making changes and then come back to things?
A couple of things have been talked about already.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why don't we just go through it and not change them and then come back and see, well, reflecting on this, it's covered there, but this one's not covered by that, and keep going. So let's go to match ratio. Dollars requested to total project cost, and one-to-one is required. So that's one of those things that is necessary.
Yeah. Is that
from how I read it, it's required.
Doesn't say that.
Doesn't say that anywhere.
Oh.
Well, the question is, you don't want just one-to-one. You want to be five-to-one if you can pull it off.
Or ten-to-one or whatever.
A minimum of a one-to-one match. I'm sure I read that somewhere.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's in there.
Well, it's not in there.
Yeah, on that topic, I'd like to open it up to be as encouraging as possible to maybe seed money for innovations and so on. That just seems like such a limitation. But that's just my opinion.
I mean, you would score a person that was less than one-to-one lower score than a higher, somebody who's higher.
If they're asking for grant money, you need to set a baseline of one-to-one.
I really think you need to set a baseline.
They're not asking for 100% of the funding to come just from the one source for their project.
Right. You want them to not just be rewarded.
No, I mean, if they're asking you for $100,000, you want to know that they've got at least as much skin in the game as you have to make this happen. So you want a one-to-one. I mean, if you put it out there and say, oh, no, you only have to come up with $20,000 and we'll come up with $100,000, that's a very risky proposition.
But how is that going to score high in your categories?
Well, I think it has to be at least a one-to-one before they can. I think it has to be written in here somewhere where it's at least a one-to-one. And the more they come to the table with, they score higher.
Well, I'm a little confused about more to come, but I mean, because these projects are going to come and generate funds later, they're not going to come to date with you to be able to match any of your...
I think what you're talking about is the actual cost of the...
The cost of the facility.
The cost of the project. You're not talking about the economic impact.
Right.
No, totally
you're
different.
Talking about if I'm building a building, I'm only going to get at least only half the money from you and preferably get even less than half the money from you to make sure that they have
That's viable. Yeah.
Viable, that they've got a game plan, that they're bringing other money to the table. We want to multiply this not to just be $1 million. We want it to be 5 or 10.
Well, that's right. But why do you put a 1-to-1, but again, you would not score that very high if it was a low ratio.
Well, that's
it
what
would
you
be
want
encouraged,
to do is write the
maybe.
Criteria
yeah.
to do encourage well, them to point this out.
I don't think you need to put it in there
I don't
at
think
all.
Either,
I think you
yeah.
can just say,
it's
what is happen. The match ratio? And if they say the match ratio is,
Zilch.
You're
going to
give us all the money for this project, it's going to end up coming out.
It's not going to look good, the rest of the stuff either. I don't think you can worry about it now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. But the match is going to be taken into account.
Well, let's keep going on and see what happens. Yeah.
There's another question on the match and a question on, we're going to have to start setting some benchmarks here of, we don't want to be looking at 50 of these projects taking $10,000 each. So somewhere there's got to be a benchmark that says if it's less than a certain amount, it's not even going to be considered because we're going to be all looking at too many of these.
Which is one of the concerns that a lot of people have spoken to me about over there.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't fine, Tracy, I think there.
Are you going to give it all to one company, or are you going to give it all to one group, or are you going to dwindle it down to little tiny pieces and parts where it's not really going to have an impact at all?
Right.
Well, when we're looking at the amount of money that we're looking at, I mean, 10,000 is a perfectly good minimum. I mean, or some sort of a minimum would be.
Maybe a convention center. Yeah. It's
hard to build
anywhere. Add something to the tourist pool, maybe a little bit of money for construction.
$10,000, $1 million, $10,000 at a time is going to take an awful lot of time.
Well, no, I'm with you. I'm saying we should have some. There should be a minimum.
And
so
I think that's where the matching grant has to be a minimum too. You have to put in at least a 1-to-1 ratio, or it wouldn't even be considered.
Okay, so the match and the amount of the request.
Right.
Might be in there. Okay. More comments? Yes.
Are we going to be voting on this? Because that's an opinion, but maybe there's other opinions. I mean, as far as that's a major requirement, I think. I mean, are we going to agree on that? I don't feel like we discussed it. I mean, you have your opinion. Right.
No, we haven't agreed on anything, but. Okay. I would suggest after we go through all of them that we try to achieve consensus, and it, because there's only six, is there six?
Seven.
Well, six that are here. Sorry to say, Julie Hanrahan wasn't able to schedule it. I just wanted to. So, you know, that we attempt to achieve a consensus that people, because everybody's opinion is very, very valuable.
And you've agreed to take these and rate them somehow. Right? I mean,
The proposal? We're going to group them and rate them, and we haven't done that yet.
It's all right. I can create an email that would go out to you all. You all would just go online and score it, and it would come back to you, and you'd have all these, and you can just report them back.
Sure, sure.
And then we'll just have this.
So we can do as a group is the preliminary discussion, which adds to everybody's knowledge about every single one of the questions, because they're not. The wording is not always perfect enough for what we need for this. So this is a shaping, molding, wording, and getting a sense of the group. And so these are just some of the things that we're going to be looking at. And the idea that there would be some things that are minimum requirements, I would try to get consensus on just that concept early. You know, so that we are all kind of working together towards saying which one is a minimum requirement and which one is a icing on the cake type thing. But let's keep going on this and trying to see, you know, the sense of people on all of them. Where we're at is, will the project create potential for spin-off businesses? And
what's a spin-off?
What is that saying?
Okay, what is that saying? Let me ask the group. Will the project create potential for spin-off businesses? Maybe it's saying that if we have a convention center, we will create a concessionaire that sells food and drink. Is that what you guys meant?
I think that's the idea.
Okay. Support businesses.
Will the facility have a space in it for other support businesses,
you know,
or will it generate the need for a support business next door, or
in a sports facility you've got your hot dog vendor and you've got your security staff.
Well, you have more than that. Something you have your
ticket taker.
Pro shops, you have
pro shops in golf.
All right. People have followed these things around.
Okay. Now we understand what we need.
To some extent the aquarium is spun off the Aquarium Village Retail.
Okay.
In a way,
okay.
and they also have they also don't operate the gift store inside the aquarium.
Or the food store either.
It's a contract with somebody else.
Now, this idea of create potential, I mean, it is I think the question is too fuzzy, you know, for me, and it'll be the applicant saying, I think we could create a bunch of businesses, but it's still their opinion. So,
it goes back to a big category of economic criteria. You want the dollars to keep on giving, and how is it going to generate the more dollars? When a startup's going to fall, then I keep feeding it. It's supposed to take off. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those questions. How is it going to support and create additional businesses? Additional activities beyond the fact that they've constructed it. And I think it needs just to be reworded. And
just take out the word potential. Will the project create spin-off
businesses?
Okay, there
you go. Take potential out would really help it.
Yeah.
And then they will make their case, and we'll listen to their case.
And like I say, with these criteria, maybe you just have to give different ideas with the check boxes just so they can get what you're thinking of. When we're confused, they may be confused.
Yeah.
And list it there, you know.
Is the project seasonal or year-round?
that fits with that.
Can we might combine that with category, the other thing, so that might be already covered. Does the project provide a service that the city currently funds? Now, I flagged that one because I wasn't sure, you know, in scoring, would you be wanting to
duplicate?
What would you be wanting? Are you, is the point of that to avoid duplication by something that the city already does? No.
Sure. No.
The other way around.
Save the city money.
So they wouldn't
save
have to fund
the city
it
money.
Another entity would be doing it instead of the city, is how
yeah,
I read
the city is short of money. Anything that creates a private enterprise that can do it as good or better keeps the city from having to spend that money.
Okay.
There's other things the city has to spend money on that they need money on, and if they can get one of these to spin off and take care of the problem, then they don't have to spend the money.
Like a rec
service, the city.
The swimming pool is a big example there.
Okay.
You really have to operate the swimming pool, but a lot of swimming pools are opened by public entities.
If you have if you have another entity running a pool, then would you just shut that one down and walk away?
Now, let me throw out another question, a parallel question, and just see what people think. Right below that, does the project provide a service that the private sector currently funds? Does duplication matter in the private sector? Because you'd be favoring something when you give it tax dollars.
Well, you have two problems here. You don't want to necessarily put anybody that's viable and operating out of business, but you also want to make sure you get advancement and new and improved, that you don't stagnate and only have this old thing that eventually ages to the point that nobody wants to have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of a flow issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with the swimming pool. The pool gets old, it needs to be rebuilt, but maybe we can get somebody else to do it, but it's a new pool, not necessarily revamping the old one.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Well, okay, we'll just leave it as is for now. As long as when we get to the point of application, that we know how it gets read out in the community, and somebody, you know, just reading it, make sure they know that they might be valuable if they do that. Next one is, will the project attract families and groups? What is the reasoning on that? Is that more bodies? Is that the reason?
I think that
more bodies is good.
You had that one, I think, and that was had to do with the demographics of who's coming to town now. Yeah. Does it? And I think that maybe ties to the other one down there. Does the project attract new demographics?
Combination of that of that also would be: are you attracting just single? You know, I'm just coming here to buy a crab and leave. The idea is: are you attracting more people? Is that kind of
okay?
And the kind of people. I mean, there's people who don't wine or adults who drink. Okay, yeah. You got casino is people who gamble. And you got the aquarium, which is family oriented, but mm-hmm. it can be educational, it can be done, but you don't necessarily attract the adults who are drinking.
There's a bias in favor of families and groups is what we're implying on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a local community benefit? Now that is very vague to mm-hmm. me. Do
That's
you guys have
one
any
for that reason?
Oh,
it's not a horrible
idea. Okay.
I think there was something.
That's
else.
Almost like a minimum requirement. That's they've got to. They've
there
got
was
to
another one
benefit.
In there somewhere, wasn't
yeah.
there? About
quality of life.
Quality of life
is coming.
Where is that one? Where is that other one in there? Is that something? Was that in the qualifications?
Local livability.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it is.
What about the economic impact? I know it's mentioned, but isn't that a community benefit? And what
yes,
is it all about?
Well,
it,
yeah,
yeah.
I think this
That's
might
from
be
the,
unnecessary
from the top one, you mean?
Because
like,
we do get into
number
community
number
benefits in detail.
Well, you may want to have economics penciled out as being a different category than other types of human economic benefit.
Okay.
Just other types of benefit, because not everything is going to be directly economic or always economic.
Right.
Well,
that's
a benefit that's
that true.
Isn't economic.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not economic.
But you could tie those two together. Will the project enhance local livability components? Is there local community benefit? Those two really are kind of speaking to the same.
You also have is the project green.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that to me are all address it, but they address the different parts of the community benefit. Now, in the Community and Economic Development Fund of the county, that is a very open, vague, mm-hmm. you know, term, and that's the name of the fund. So when my organization ended up with a scoring chart, which they do use now, they ended up giving 0 points if it had neither a community or an economic benefit. If it has a community benefit, like a homeless shelter or something, it would get 1 point. But if it has both a community and economic development benefit, the jobs part, it got 2 points. And once that criteria and scoring went into there, they got a different mix of high-scoring projects that really address the purpose of the fund better. So this community thing is something that we've definitely grappled with, and it should be defined, and then the economics should be defined maybe in the guidelines. This is what we mean by this, and this is what we mean by that. And that way people can address questions like that. Does the project demonstrate economic sustainability? So I think they would say yes. You know, they don't want to say yes, and then they would say why it does.
Well, yeah. I would amend economic to say financial sustainability.
But there's a qualification that organizations must be able to demonstrate financial stability.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that overlapping heavily with this?
Well, no. The organization and the project are going to be.
I mean, I said it's operations. Yeah, it's continued operations and funding after the thing gets open. After the doors are open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you get we want to push the snowball to start. We don't want to keep putting more stuff into it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Support.
Yeah. Right.
Sustainability. Yeah, and that word sustainability. Yeah, is it means it survives in the long term,
exactly.
And we can always define that.
So I think
that.
Maybe financial sustainability might be better than economic.
It might be.
Yeah.
I think it might be more to
you're
what
looking
we're
more specifically
to get at.
For.
Yes.
Show us a plan. Show us your 5-year, 7-year plan.
Okay.
That it will
survive.
Projections.
Yeah.
Projections.
Also plan
to
go 5-7 years.
Yeah.
And on that topic, would a requirement be, and I guess this is important to me as city manager, will it not require ongoing financial assistance by the city? I mean, it's a basic requirement,
right.
So
absolutely.
It's out
there. It's got to be on its own. Stand
its own.
Right. So somewhere in the basic criteria, by the way, don't forget that.
Yeah, you don't want them to have to come back and ask for more money for this project.
Well, you could say on its own.
What?
Does a project demonstrate financial sustainability on its own?
Well, I mean, you know, the aquarium is an example of that they continually have to raise money. But they have a process and a form in which they do that. But they continually have to raise money. Their ticket revenue does not support the operation there. They always have to have their members and their donors and their continual thing, and
mm-hmm.
that's fine
mm-hmm.
as long as they demonstrate that they have a plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
But
how about this, Margaret? You need to consider does it require city funding?
It doesn't. Which,
does or doesn't it, or yeah, like, does it require your the city?
Well,
Jim is concerned about having to worry about whether or not.
Things well, no, I think the financial sustainability thing
mm-hmm.
is good, but maybe there needs to be a sub question of that. But I think that question is really important.
Well, I think the question is important.
You
don't want to put money into a project that doesn't have any kind of a plan for the future.
You could add on to the end of it without support from the city.
Well, you want.
That's true.
I think maybe there's two things going on here. It's the project itself, when it's being built, it has to be economic and viable and get to conclusion. That project has to get done. We don't want them to only go halfway and have to stop after they spent money. But also, it's once it's completed, how does it operate? That's a financial stability, sustainability too.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, an example.
Phase and the end phase afterwards.
And a counterexample to that, Tracy, would be the OCCA requesting monies to help support an addition to the PAC. Well, the OCCA receives money from the city every year as a contractor to operate the facility.
Mm-hmm.
So they are receiving, and they do receive ongoing city support.
And so the facility belongs to the
city. What you would want the OCCA to do
quality.
Is to demonstrate the fact that they could. Fund the extra space in the utilities and the operations and all the costs that they have associated to operating the building that the OCCA has. I mean, they're paying utilities and all those sorts of things. So that you would want them to demonstrate that they can assimilate this extra space and take care of it.
Without requesting additional money.
Yeah.
Well, just for the facility.
And then the answer, I guess, the good point you brought up is that that location is owned by the city. These applicants here, the city doesn't own any of it. They might not be owning any of this stuff. There's no contractual obligation for the city to really fund it.
Yeah, well, in the county fairgrounds example, the county would be a participant in continuing to sustain and maintain that. They have room tax dollars dedicated specifically to that facility. So you also have that element. So I don't know that you really want to say you're not going to have ongoing support, because some of the projects may have that implied promise and implied support that goes on, that's ongoing.
Well, I agree that that you're already doing, but you don't want to limit yourself to those, and the whole idea is to try to get these things so you don't have to continually financially support them.
Yeah.
The idea is you want them to have a game plan where they don't have to come and ask you for money. Even if they fail, you want them working in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm telling you probably is I mean, the business plan or the plan for the PAC would contemplate continual support as a contractor for the city to operate the facility, and that the city would actually own the building. The city would have to assume some maintenance responsibilities for the increased space, because they take care of the outer shell. So there's more to take care of there. The county fairgrounds is another example whereby you would have ongoing maintenance and ownership facility like that would be that is supported by that tax. So you still, you know, there's still some of those kinds of issues. I think.
Could you do this?
Just demonstrate it, and then they would each group would have to show how they intend to support the additional space or the additional facility based on what kind of support they have. I think that the Lincoln County Historical Society gets money from the county as well for ongoing operations and administration.
So could you pause the initial question? Does a project demonstrate financial sustainability without additional support from the city? With a sub-question being, if additional support is needed, what is that amount? Could you pose that in two pieces so that you could weight it differently?
Well, I think in their economic sustainability plan or description to you, they're going to tell you what their funding is.
Sources are, yeah.
And what their funding plan is, and how they fund what they do.
Yeah. For now,
you can always ask those questions, I assume, of the applicants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, for now, let's make that change to financial.
Okay.
And move on. It's 11:30, so I want to be sensitive to give each question what it needs. Does the project create jobs?
We already amended that, I think. Our
in all phases.
Local jobs in all phases.
Oh, that's good.
And then with the checkbox, you go, okay, during planning, during construction, after that's over.
Put categories again.
The categories so people can explain and
okay.
I'm just curious where they would not say no or yes on that one.
Well,
after the construction.
You want them to articulate how they're going to get local contractors involved in the construction.
So we did.
Actually, I want them to spend the money next year, but we're not probably going to get there. The whole idea is we need jobs now. So if somebody's got
some of these projects are quite well along already.
Okay, good.
I think with the funding, they'll be ready to jump pretty fast.
Okay. So we did talk about the jobs. Let's go to the next one. Does the project attract new demographics? I flagged that one myself because I did not understand that one.
We lumped that up with the project to attract families and groups.
Yeah, you're wanting to explain who is coming, why are they coming, da 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 da.
So can we just cross it out? I mean, do we need to explain what we mean by it?
I'd leave it in for right now.
Okay.
You know, when you get jazz at Newport, that brings in a different group, you know, from seafood and wine versus...
Exactly.
The OMSI,
and youth activities.
So. Okay, leave
it. Who was coming to use your facility? Right. Families, adult breeds. Males, females. So you have the list criteria somehow where you can do it more generically, and just sort of using the word demographic, what you're trying to say is, who are you bringing, and right. what time of year, and
I mean, this,
how many we want.
Yeah.
And utilizing the materials that the chamber puts together every year okay. as a summary okay. of what's happening with tourism dollars now, you could say, you know, this is a we're expecting to bring a different group than what's already yeah. reflected
this,
in that.
This is you for were, the narrative, so it's not where they just say yes and then we're
right.
going, what do you
what
mean?
What you do yeah. is you give them the boxes about yeah. what they're doing and then let them describe it.
Yeah, sure, but sure. the key word there is new.
Okay,
new, yeah.
Okay.
New word, yeah. New
Let's
word.
Not yeah. leave it for now.
Additional or mm-hmm. something.
Increased. Yeah.
Okay.
Something more.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the project green or LEED certified? So that is has become a very common, you know, criteria, and we see that a lot, that they get one extra point, possibly, if it is green.
Caroline,
yes.
I think
yes.
that word green, I'm all supportive of it, but it's been bandied around so much that it yeah. doesn't really have a definition anymore.
Well, there is a definition, and the county
oh,
is including it in their own grant, so this is something I'm really dealing
green.
With right now.
Oh, so
yeah, they have a there is a definition of green.
Friendly, what okay. we need to do is put the definition in instead of having
right.
Let
yeah.
me add that
yeah.
to you in a memo,
okay.
because the county came up with one, and if you guys feel good about it, it okay. can be used. It's what it is the county wanted to have that feeling mm-hmm. sense in their grants, but had to find a definition that is useful and meaningful,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and
just,
they
just
did
so
find
we don't
it. Say
like
yes,
it's
in order.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jim, did you? Okay.
Yeah. My only comment on that is some projects might be in on concept only. Convention Center, it's the concept. Is it LEEDs? No, until you design it as LEEDs, there is a cost to become LEEDs, and so if they mark yes, we give them the grant, does that mean that it has to be LEEDs, and so they have to increase that cost to it? So,
okay.
I think what you're asking for is the conscious decision by the project mm-hmm. to be LEED.
Yeah, they would.
Up
they
front,
would say,
they say we're going to do this project under LEED certification, mm-hmm. and this is our goal.
Or this is our intention. They have the opportunity
yeah.
to say this
or,
is
well,
our intention.
Yeah, I wouldn't just tie to LEEDs. I think the yeah. green would
yeah.
be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the wording on green is that, I don't have it exactly, so I'll give it to you in a memo. It is this allows the ability of the current generation to. You know, do its thing without compromising the ability of future generations. I mean, it's
right.
got that language, that type of language.
Could you, excuse me, include the LEED certification definition with the green when you send the memo? Just what exactly?
That's
oh, I want to.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
I want to.
Okay.
I've got the wording. I just don't have it with me.
Yeah, no, that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Just to yeah, include that.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
More on LEED and green,
yeah.
or can we move? Can we
yeah.
go along?
Ooh.
Okay.
I mean, you know, in a particular case, like I'm thinking the Performing Arts Center, if you do an addition, you know, there might be an element of that addition which allows for the revamping of the energy systems inside the building, the heating or something that would create a better, a cheaper process for operating it or a cheaper process.
Yeah, one of the criteria is lowering energy costs.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
that's really important.
Yeah.
Is the every building project.
And
the idea of lowering energy costs, just,
yeah.
it's mandatory to me.
Or
but
the type of lighting that you reinstall or whatever you do. Yeah.
So is the project, moving on, is the project location compatible with other tourist hubs?
I've amended that, line to say other tourist-related businesses.
I don't know what tourist hubs means at all. So
I think, Jeff, and you
well, a hub is generally speaking when the tourism, they congregate. You have the night beach of Bayfront.
I see.
You have somebody out there in the dump.
It's
not really a tourist hub out there.
I see.
That's
oh, okay.
I see now.
So it's not just businesses. It is areas.
Areas.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
the
yeah.
location compatible?
You're 3 miles out of town or, you know what I mean, it's
yeah.
not
if you're opening up a new area, it's hard to attract people if you've only got one business out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think
okay, we might be able to do a better wording on it.
That is the right word we want.
Is it in? Othered? Or is it near?
I mean, compatible isn't what we're, I think when you, if
may
I
not
say,
be as
how
important.
Does it relate to?
Well, is it
compatible?
In conference?
Maybe with existing tourist centers.
Well, you just take out the group compatible there, I guess would be just the project location.
Is
with
project location
within. I guess you put
within existing tourist hubs.
Or how does it refer to? How does it
relate?
Yeah, I think you want to have
Is it walkable?
Yeah.
It might be near walkable, but
the idea that compatible is relatable. Yeah, you don't want to have
An example would be the fairgrounds. I mean, if a project comes to you, it doesn't have any other tourist stuff near it, but is it?
It might become a tourist thing.
How does it fit with? I mean, I think you have to consider location.
Okay.
Is the project location within other tourist hubs?
Within, that's fine. Yeah.
Within. Let's have that as a working.
Exclude something at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, might.
And we wouldn't want to necessarily exclude something at the fairgrounds.
Yeah,
I think the question is, how does it relate to other tourist hubs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
how does it relate to?
Because some people will want to walk. Some of them,
you put instead of compatible, but relate.
Well, for instance, with the fairground thing, you're gonna want some narrative from them to say, you know, this works where it is because we own the land already, but we have a. We're within X number of miles from all the rooms in, you know, from the 90% of the rooms in this city, mm-hmm. and there's a we have a transit plan, or we have a shuttle plan, or kinds of things that would let you know how they would plan to tie to what we already have.
How about this, Mark? You say, does the project relate with other tourist hubs?
That's what we're discussing now. Does that feel comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done is take it from a yes no to a narrative, but if that's comfortable.
Well, we can again put a little checklist underneath it. Is it within, is it next door? Is
well,
it
you can just put how, and yeah. That would be going a narrative.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. How does it
how
relate?
How does the project relate to other tourists?
Let's leave. Let's change it to that as a working definition. They may be. They may be. Okay, going on. Will the project be completed in 5 to 7 years? Now, why 5 to 7?
Yeah, what's that?
What is that magic?
I don't know why we said that.
Well,
I don't remember what our thinking was. Is we just thought maybe by the time this got done, would it,
Yeah.
It can be sooner.
Yeah, it could be sooner.
Well, the idea, we didn't want to go longer than that, was why it's in here.
No longer than 7?
But kind of within 7 years.
We're not
within.
Sure something that's 10 years from now.
How about within?
Within.
Within 7 years, within. Or do you want to keep it to within 5 years?
I don't think it's superfluous.
I just don't need it.
But
I guess my suggestion is have them tell us their timeline.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. If they say it's 10 years, I'll go with the bottom list.
What is the project completion date?
Yeah, you
can do that too, yeah.
Estimated completion.
That may just be an element of the application itself.
It might be. Just
fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank.
Give us your timeline, What is your project timeline? Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we would give them a score depending on when it's complete. I mean, that doesn't really relate to the value of the project directly.
Unless it's somebody that comes with something that's they've already done a lot of their other fundraising, and they might have architectural plans that they can go out and bid tomorrow with, it would be done in a year and a half.
Yeah.
That's something that I think would be a very big advantage.
The readiness is more valuable than the date that they
just
finish.
Just get the timeline.
Okay, get the timeline. Okay.
And about when they expect to be completed.
We will get the timeline somehow.
And you may choose just to have that be part of your application.
Yeah, it might be a line that's not a criteria. Because I would just hate to judge based on when it's finished, because the more complicated the project, the longer it'll take, and that kind of thing. And
you do need to judge on how long it's going to take. I mean, if they're sitting out there 10 or 15 years,
you don't want to tie the money up that
long.
No. With the 7 year thing is going to be a minimum, right?
More than likely, a maximum.
So that's already a given. That's already a given. But I mean, within the 7. The projects have their own readiness at this point, and so we're judging them on how long they've been doing it, which is not that fair.
And the ones that they've already been thinking about and they've already spent money, those people are going to come in with, no matter what time guideline we put in, if we say we want the application by a specific date, the people who already got things well in advance in the planning stages are going to come in with a better project.
Unfortunately,
the people who have a brand new idea they're going to have a harder writing a good application, and that's going to be out in the future.
And yet, it could be a real money job maker, brilliant thing. We don't know.
What we have to do is wait. Unfortunately, it all ends up what we have you know, the viable business plan is something that's going to already be in any other in the criteria. But the new, brand new project is going to be much harder to get off the ground, no matter how innovative it is.
Well, I, you know, some of that we'll just have to live with. And the next one is about, does the project present a viable business plan?
Doesn't really relate to the financial sustainability issue.
Yeah. That might, we might group it. We might group
it. It's another one of those economic questions that needs to be grouped in one.
Well, I'm going to be in favor of grouping because I really think it'll help the applicant be successful.
What I think it'll end up being is something like five criteria with a lot of detail underneath them, each of the big criteria.
I hope so.
That way, or 10 criteria with a lot of detail underneath it, instead of having to compromise and do one or the other, you make some of it very simple and allow them to do the narrative.
Wouldn't we try and prioritize the criteria if we can so that the more important criteria are first?
I think we need to. Yes, I think that would be that's one of our goals. Right now, we have a list where everything's equal, so we're just kind of explaining. And I think on our own, we can do some grouping, and maybe I will circulate some grouping things that were common, you know, to task force.
John puts together a little.
John has offered to help with an electronic voting for us, and so that's going to be really helpful, and that will. That will really reflect every six, seven people in a very, you know, just tidy way. But anyway, just going back through the whole thing, will the project enhance local livability components? I flagged that one because I didn't know if we were to define that or if it's already been defined or what is the intention on livability components.
I think we draw that into one category that includes, is there a local community benefit?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you may want to have those categories too. Or checkboxes kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What is the projected economic impact? Now, I've flagged that one because analyzing the economic impact of anything is a highly technical activity. It's something that you pay somebody to do. And it is something that I did for the NOAA project. And the way that the steps that you go through to do that analysis, I don't expect our applicants to have those skills. So it's going to be their opinion that it'll have a good economic impact. But I don't know, unless they've gone through some stages, really, really advanced stages of readiness to build and feasibility, it might be that some are able to answer it and others aren't.
Well,
or they may be.
If you could maybe make a little more general than that, not asking for a
plan. Well, isn't that really the first question?
Well, the idea there would be, are you
multiplying?
Well, I think it's Tracy's point. I got a $10,000 venture here. Well, it's not a very big economic benefit. You got 10 people show up a year, and where you have larger projects, there you can basically say, like the aquarium does, we have so many people come through our doors, there are times this many economic dollars, but that's kind of where it comes from.
I think you would tie that maybe to the first question, though.
I agree.
Okay, we'll tie that. We'll do some grouping.
If you're increasing spending, it's increasing.
Increased spending is going to be the big category.
Yeah. How are you going to get more money spent here by people who are coming here?
And you would end up.
And I was just going to add, because this has come up like at the airport. The airport is a valuable, but it's value to the region. And this is Newport money, so we should make clear that it's an impact to the city of. Within the city of Newport boundaries, so that
that's another way we weight things. Like it's another one of those criteria. Is it inside the city of Newport? Yeah. I'm not going to say we shouldn't go out into Lincoln County simply because people from Lincoln County come here and work here and live in other cities, but we should try to
keep
localize it here if we can, and not spend in Eugene or Afghanistan. I mean, we want it here.
Okay.
I think we said something about within the UGB.
Yeah.
Did we say that somewhere?
I
think it would be a good thing to emphasize because the tax, the transient room tax was collected within the city, and the city is managing the money, and so it just makes sense that the benefit would come here, even though the facility itself benefits the region.
I agree.
Such as the aquarium, it's very understood.
Here in this community, it needs to be spent in this community.
The criteria, and then number two, the qualifications. Project must be within city limits or to be annexed upon completion.
And we're also talking about the impact mostly going here.
Yeah.
In this question, it's like, where's the impact going? It's also going here. We'll get the wording right on that. And the next one, will the project increase the capacity for tourism?
I edited that to say to serve tourism.
Increase the capacity for tourism.
I think that just means, does it bring more tourists in?
Yeah, that's what it means.
Yeah.
So
the capacity meaning the
I think that comes back to the first question.
Attracts new tourists.
Yeah, it does go back to that, yeah.
And it goes to the demographic question, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a number of different ways it comes in.
And what we mean by that, we would have to be clear if we're going to keep that.
I have to leave. Can we set the next meeting?
Okay, let's switch
schedule,
to...
schedule really quickly, and then...
The next meeting.
If you have a regular schedule, it really helps Nicole and everybody to do the public meeting notices and those sorts of things.
Of course.
I've got to go meet the shuttle guy for the thing tomorrow.
And we are maybe... our goal is during September to have criteria that are ready to go to the public.
And the application.
And the application.
Yeah. You have to go to the city. We need to go to city council. So
we do?
The city council needs to approve the application and criteria. Yeah.
So when are the council meetings? And see if we can do something before that.
Well, September the 6th and the 18th. So maybe if your goal would be by the 18th to have...
19th, you mean?
18th.
We
it's on Monday,
the
18th.
Monday. Oh, 19th, I'm sorry.
Okay, 19th.
And
city.
So that maybe the goal would be if you can meet another one or two times before the 19th of September, that you would be able to forward those to us then.
Sure.
Or the first meeting in October, whichever way you...
How many meetings do we think?
How many between now and the 19th? Could we do it in one more meeting?
But let me just clarify. 19th meeting, it goes to the council, so it needs to be to staff, like on the 13th.
Well, that's good to know. It's good to know.
A week ahead of time.
To staff? Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we should shoot for the first meeting in October, just to make it reasonable.
Council meeting you're talking about.
Council meeting where the criteria
where
be
you
approved.
Would well, no you would have your application ready.
Application
and the criteria so they can go to the council so they can make the decision.
We can say this looks great. Let's put it out there.
And that's Monday, October 3rd is one of your meetings.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. But I need it the Tuesday before that.
Yeah.
The Tuesday before that would be okay. That would be the 27th, where we have two staff.
And, depending on what the process is, and what application materials, obviously you can make the recommendation, or we can just kind of make the decision that we need to give. Once the application is actually available, we need to give the organizations a month or 6 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks is probably...
I think
more
6 weeks is better. Now, the county gives a month, but their applications are around 10,000 each.
And
so it's a really simpler
And your form is already established. It's on the web. It's two pages. It's been out there for years, so people know what to expect.
6 weeks,
this is
a
brand new thing that people aren't.
Yeah, but it's not unknown, so I don't know that there's anybody going to go between now and October to decide they're going to come up with a project. Everybody knows they're going to submit. Yeah. The same people are going to submit.
You can decide what the deadline. What deadline will work well for timing?
Otherwise, you're going to get December when you get.
Yeah.
So maybe we should try to have, by in order to give something to staff on September 27th, we could either have one long meeting or two short meetings.
It depends on what people are available. I mean, if we think we want to do a lot of work in a month like this, we may not once a week or something, so we can get it done, we may be able to get it done to an earlier meeting.
Uh-huh.
I'm not just sure if we want to think about and massage how these are written. Right. It takes a little effort.
Yeah, I want the task force to have the time to really ponder, the discussions that we've had.
I don't want to ponder, just get it done.
Both.
Yeah.
But I mean, just to shape up the. I mean, we could probably meet again fairly soon.
Can we
Can we meet 2 weeks from today? Is that too late?
The 2nd of September.
If everybody spends some time working on it and things, I think you can probably finalize your criteria and your.
I would like to in one more meeting.
At your next meeting.
Are you two going to do the grouping for us to disapprove? If that's the case, it could be easy if you do the grouping.
Why don't we try to do the grouping before the next meeting and circulate it?
Yeah.
That would
mm-hmm. really help focus because you can't focus on a huge laundry list like this.
And then is someone willing to, or would you like me to do probably you guys could probably do a better job than I could on this, but that would be to research a couple of application forms, pulling from application mm-hmm. forms that are already out there that OCF uses or that. Mm-hmm. Murdoch Trust or Meyer Memorial Trust uses, mm-hmm. and at least so you have a template for people to start looking at and thinking about what would work for you.
Is there anybody that would like to be that type of subcommittee from the task force?
It's just, you know, finding
research,
the actual...
Little research
we're
going
to have to come up with the actual form.
Well, yeah, but these would be using templates.
I can look for that if you would like me to.
Would you be able
and
to?
I'll forward a couple of samples to people.
I would be happy to refer people to the county has two different funds and really comparable.
Well, he's going to look at it.
Okay, so what's the meeting? We're going to meet the 2nd.
We've been suggested for September 2nd. Now, that is the Friday before a holiday.
No problem for me.
Well, Julie Hanrahan already told me she didn't really like Mondays or Fridays because it's the beginning and the end of the banking week for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thursday the 1st?
What about Thursday the 1st?
At what time?
We'll see what time works, too. But if people I sort of like morning.
Yeah, this is good. Too.
Is this good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 is good.
How about 10 on the 1st?
Okay.
Are you okay with it, John?
Yeah, the morning's fine. The afternoon is shot.
Oh, good. Well, if we can shoot for the morning. Same time frame?
Yeah.
Excellent. I will check with Julie. I would love to have her input. We want to be all seven, if we possibly can, and either that or Julie will have to be replaced.
Maybe you can meet every Thursday, every Thursday or every other Thursday during the month of September just to get it cranked out.
Then
there will be a hiatus because once you get the application process ready, then you've got to get it out there and just let people do it. So
we're looking at the 15th also.
Well, I think we can schedule the 15th, but I also think that it's entirely possible that instead of getting it for the first meeting in October, we might be able to get it done for the second meeting in September. So if we can get the criteria together quickly, we should keep that option available.
Oh, yeah. It's a sooner the better type project.
Sure.
Yeah, because if you could...
I would love to
if you met
again
on
the
8th,
then I'd be ready.
You might be able
ready.
To have it already by then.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep the 8th as a maybe then. Question mark, 10 a.m.
Well, it's like a pair of paper. If you give more meetings, you'll take the time.
So. You'll be out of town on the 8th?
Yeah, I gotta go to Seattle.
But you'll have already your emails circulated, but with...
We're meeting on the 1st, and we might finish it. We'll go as far as we can.
I think you did a really great job today.
Thank you.
I think everybody sounds like everybody's pretty much kind of got the idea where to head with it. So
okay, let's just leave the last three for people to weigh in on, and I'm going to, let you know some things in memos in between now and our next time, and thank you again.
Yeah, everybody, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Nice job, nice work.
Okay.